There are several moments when heaven wants to orchestrate an intervention, and God requires the participation of men. What he does is that he quickens a summon. A summon is an invitation. A summon is a call to come up to the realm of God so that he can occasion visibility from his perspective. There are times when God wants you to see things from his perspective. And in those times, if you do not come up, you'll be seeing things from circumstances. And you will not have the authority, the ability to change the trend. My prayer is that when he calls you, when he summons you, you will answer him. I can only tell you my own personal experience of being summoned. Nothing would interest me, so I know God is calling for my attention. The moment I yield, he begins to speak to me. This is the current diary I'm using. Every year, I have a diary. But this is the one I began to use from last year. Because when he summons me, he speaks. He speaks to me. Sometimes I feel my house is so noisy. So I say, okay, I want to go book for a hotel. Many times my wife follows me. But when I encounter what I encounter alone. It's not as if she's not in the mood of prayer, but I'm the one that was summoned. When he begins to speak, then I begin to write. The whole direction in my life changes the moment I respond to a summon from heaven. I pray again for you that when he calls, you will yield to him. In the name of Jesus Christ. You may be seated, turn your Bible to the book of Revelation chapter number 5. As we still unveil things that you are likely to find when you begin to interface with the layer of God. In the book of Revelation 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" When you begin to interface with God's realm, you are going to stumble upon the reality. And that's what the Bible calls seals. The kingdom of God happens to be a kingdom that operates by mysteries, by secrets. There are several things that are held secret. If it's in security terminology, we will say that those things are classified. There are many classified things in the kingdom of God. And part of what God does is that he makes these things classified, makes them secret, so that they don't come to common knowledge, and so that they are not accessible by the kingdom of darkness. I think I need to open our eyes to a few scriptures before we come back to talk about seals. There is a documentation that exists before the presence of God about your destiny, and it will interest you to know that your destiny is a secret. And that any man that does not labor to stumble into the secret of his destiny will live natural life. Methuselah so far has been the man that has been given the opportunity to see so many days upon the face of the earth. 969 years Methuselah lived, and the only achievement that he brought to the earth was that he gave birth to sons and daughters.
It is possible for you just to live out your natural possibility. But unfortunately, that is not the reason for which you are apprehended. That's not why you were born, and that's not why you are apprehended in Christ Jesus. There is something to your life much more than the schools you went, the friends you met along the way, your discipline, your job. Your life is sealed. You will need to make effort in order for you to enter into the sealed things of your life. In fact, you are not likely to be able to explain the circle of warfare that ravages your destiny if you don't understand the sealed things about your life. In seeking and watching for the movements of God, we must be taught how to break seals. Are you still with me? Well, I need to do just a rounded Bible study so that I can expose you to a few scriptures that support what I'm trying to teach in order to legitimize it before we begin to engage. So I may need to invite us to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And if you are there, say amen. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I don't have time to touch that scripture. It's my favorite, one of my favorite. If I enter there, we'll get lost. So I will avoid it. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So pay attention now. Verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. The word perfect here is ancient English, which means mature. It means that there are several things that we cannot communicate to babes. It will not make sense to them. We speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet, not the wisdom of this world, not of the princes of this world that come to naught. Trying to inform us of the fact that there are planes and levels of wisdom. We have demonic wisdom is acknowledged here. We have human wisdom is acknowledged here. And we have the divine wisdom is also acknowledged here. And the difference between divine wisdom and any other source of wisdom is that any other source of wisdom comes to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So the wisdom of God is classified. It's part of the tools, the utensils found in the kingdom of God that makes it difficult for the devil to win a battle against God. Because these secret things of which we speak were kept secret before Satan was created. So even though Satan might have been around, he knows the throne room, he has heard some of the declarations of God, he has seen the power of God manifest. Unfortunately for Satan, Satan is a created being. And there were several things that took place in the eternities of God that Satan has no knowledge of. And in fact, if God wants to pedestal you, to advance your life, what he does is that he unveils to you one of those things he kept secret. The entire Bible is a collection of the miscalculations of the enemy, because the devil doesn't have the knowledge that he needs in order to prosecute effectively the battle that he's engaging. In fact, Satan doesn't know your thoughts. He needs to put you in circumstances that will provoke you to speak. Then he goes to update his data bank. I hope you know that weapons are formed. The weapons of Satan are formed against us. Oh, this my class is not ready, so let's leave now. When I notice you are here, then we'll travel a little more. But if you are not here, what we'll do is we'll allow you navigate through the wilderness one more time. By the time you come back, if we want to teach, you'll be willing. You'll be willing to. Hallelujah. So the Bible says we speak wisdom. We speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So this hidden wisdom was God's original intention. So the things that God hid, he did not hide them from you, but he hid them for you. Please help me tell your neighbor. God did not hide these things from you, but he hid them for you. Now, this scripture makes us to understand that the reason for which God hid these things is for your glory, is for your advantage. It is the glory of God, the Bible says, to conceal a thing. That's God's nature. He likes hiding things. He is glorified when he conceals a matter. And it is the honor of kings to search it out. And if you understand our status in the new covenant, the status of a king priest, and part of our duties is to ensure that we can search into the things of God. If you have ever seen a typical kingdom situation and a letter is written, it is addressed to somebody. In order for us to know that it was not a forgery, in order for us to know that it was not a counterfeit, in order for us to know that it's authentic, what happens is that the king uses his seal and puts it on the letter. That shows that it is a secret letter. The content should not be commonplace. The content can only be revealed to him to which it is addressed. So if you are not the one to which the letter is addressed, it is sacrilege for you to attempt to break a seal of a letter that is not yours. You need to be the one that the letter is addressed to for you to break that seal without consequence. Are you still with me? So you see, the context here, if you check the scriptures, the shape of the realm of God is the shape of a kingdom, because God is not a president. He's not a prime minister. He's not a chancellor. Is a king. If you have not yet perceived God as a king, a ruler, someone that rules from eternity past, he is ruling at present, and he will still be ruling in the days to come. I don't have time to transgress, to trespass, and go into some scriptures and show you the status of God. You have not known God if you have not perceived him as a ruler. That's why when you pray, your activity of prayer, if it's not streamlined by the will of God, which is enshrined in the Bible, is a futility, it's an act in futility. Because he can only respond to things that are within the scope of his will. Because what is running is not management, is kingdom. Are you with me? All right. So these terminologies used here, the metaphors used here, the registers used here are registers that are found within the context of a kingdom setting. And in a kingdom, we cannot do without a seal. I'll try to explain to us what a seal is. You see, the ring of a king is not a decorative accessory. The ring of a king is actually contains a seal. The design that is on the head of the ring is the seal of the government. And so when the inkhorn that is used to seal up a letter is poured on the letter, then it is the king's ring that is used to seal it. So the implication of ring in a kingdom context is different from... I'm not so good in keeping rings anyway. Because the first time I resolved to wear one. People said I was using it to do miracles. That my ancestors are herbalists. And that ring came from a strange place. Even when I stopped wearing it, they say I've swallowed it. It's now more peaceful. So I've not been good with rings. But in the kingdom context, rings are critically significant because they bear the imprint of the kingdom seal. Second thing I need to say about a seal is that seals are items that only exist in the original. You know, we have so many formats and forms through which we can duplicate things these days. But there are some things that only exist in the original, one of which is the seal. In view of the above, you can understand the scripture in the book of, is it 2 Timothy chapter 2, where the Bible says, now the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. Then he now made a statement, he said, having this seal, take notice of this seal. And you know, I told you that seals are things that only exist how? Well, my class is not ready. Okay, so we'll leave. We'll leave it. Don't worry. When you are ready for, I labored in the wilderness, and labored under the mighty hand of God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come to me through the mercy of God. You are in an air-conditioned room. Hallelujah. And when we are trying to dispense, you say, this guy is just that. All right. So you will have your own experience before you. Yeah. So let's go back to my scripture. You are not interested in my delivery. The Bible says we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So the reason for which the things are hidden is that they are hidden for our advantage. They are hidden for our glory, for our promotion. They are hidden for our exaltation. So there is a principle of secrecy that operates in the kingdom of God. And it happens to be that unto us it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Are you still with me? You see, that's why, if you know what I'm talking about, Jesus is the all in all. Yes, if you know what I'm talking about. Once upon a time, I was in the place of prayer. It was on the 1st of January. And I called my family together. We held hands and began to pray in the spirit, thanking God that we had crossed over to a new year for the privileges that he had given us in the previous year. And all of that, we were just praying. Not asking for anything, just praying. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. He gave me an instruction. He said, give me 100,000 naira every month. He didn't say, and I will do this. He just said, you would have loved it if there was a consequence. He said, give me 100,000. Then my salary was 330,000. And he was asking for 100. And I know my household. How many were we then? Were like 8 individuals then. 8 individuals, including my wife. And 250,000 naira plus our offerings, our fuels, and all the other things that we need to do, the NEPA bill, was not enough to take care of 8 people the way I would want to take care of them. So now I touched my wife. I said, God just spoke now. What? He said we should give him 100,000. I said, okay, that's all right. I said, how do you know it's God that spoke? He said, God will not say you should go and win. So, devil, the Satan, the evil spirit will not say you should go and win souls for God. And they will also not say you should give money to God. Say, okay.
That's encouraging.
So we accepted to make that contribution as a family. That instruction that God gave me was the instruction that led me out of poverty. You see, it was sealed. You are not with me. You see, that instruction he gave me existed in heaven. But I did not have access to it because it was sealed. There was something we did that made the seal to break. And the moment that wisdom that was secured before the foundation of the world to take us out of poverty came, we no longer had to battle the demons of poverty. Because that wisdom that God gave considered all the demons of poverty before God gave it. The wisdom has more muscle than the spirits that of penury and poverty. So God had put your life on the scale, and there are wisdoms that God has crystallized, but they are sealed in glory. And he's saying, the reason for which I classified these things is not because I wanted to hide something from you. I want to hide something for you. Something that is not accessible to the kingdom of darkness. And if you access those sealed things and begin to walk in them, whether the devil hates you so much, he cannot tamper with the outcome of what we find expression when you are operating at that level of wisdom.
That was my exit from poverty. I don't need to tell you all the other stories. Okay, maybe I need to tell you to help somebody's faith. So we accepted as a family that we were going to be giving 100,000. Because of the request God made, even though without my salary, I could rent a big, better house. Do you understand that? That time, many years ago, 330,000 was big money. And I could rent a very massive house that had a fence and a gate, and I'll be in my own personal compound. But because of the request God was making, the only place we found a house that could take up rent that would make it possible for us to obey God was in Wadata. How many of you know Wadata? Okay. I have stayed there before. When I was in Wadata, I was on TV, on NTA, and somebody saw me and said, "You look like someone that preaches on NTA. But that person cannot stay here." So I now told him, "When you find the person, let me know." The reason why I was in Wadata, and I was in Wadata for 4 years, the reason was because the Lord said I should give him 100,000. And when I obeyed, that was my exit. You know, when he gave me the instruction, he didn't add, "When you do this, then I will do." Because God is not a money doubler. Many of you come before God with a Japanese calculator to calculate first the outcome before you are willing to register obedience. If you are a watchman that is entering into the realm of God, you will meet sealed things. And I need to tell you the economy of sealed things. That your life, the way it is currently constituted, is not God's fault. It's a reflection of your obedience to God. The best things in the kingdom of God will not be available for carnal believers. But such believers that are willing to pay the price and to sacrifice to serve the will of God. You will never be good enough to come to a point where God can give you his best as a carnal believer. It is when you come to that point where you are living to serve the will of God, you will find secret. There are secret things that God has ordained to support you, but you are not aware now. Meanwhile, I was a carnal believer at some point, and I felt we could use the metrics of human wisdom. You see, the scriptures already foretold
that the wisdom of man, the wisdom of the princes of this world, will come to naught. To come to naught. So it's not as if I didn't try with my strength. I met with failure. Then I was now willing to say, okay, Lord, how do you want us to do it? The nature of the fallen man that is in you will not want you to obey God without an experience of defeat. It's part of the dealing that God puts in place to defeat your human wisdom. No man follows, submits to God naturally. It's only men that have been conquered that will submit. And God has machinations in his armory that will defeat your wisdom. Some of you believe that you have an advantage because you were born into a certain family. Oh my. I was born into such a family. And the person that gave my family the name it had, that person died when I was in the university. Sometimes, some people will have to live your life in order for you to smell the coffee and wake up. That the options are not many. It's either Jehovah comes through for you or you will labor in the wilderness. So when those realities began to look me in the face, I had to focus on God more meticulously because that was the only stronghold that I had left in this world. Some of you have not yet arrived at that point. You still have options. Your uncle is a senator. You can still go there. He gives you 1 million. You come out. If God wants to help you, your uncle will lose election. Your stronghold will dry up. But you know what? I say this with great hope because God planned for your coming. He kept something secret for you. And if you can tap into only one of them, you will know there is no need to be carnal. Stay with me and stay tuned as we journey. Next verse. It says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had there no need, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. So that one of those capsules of wisdom was what played out in the case of Jesus. Because the princes of this world thought that if they kill him, they will stop the embarrassment that they were receiving from him. Because everywhere he went, the shackles, chains of the devil broke. And the only thing the devil felt was that we need to put this guy out of business. The humiliation is too much and it's making people hope in God. And unfortunately for the devil, he thought he killed him, but he only set him free. Today, if you as much as believe in him, he possesses your heart. When that seed that death could not hold captive grows in your vessel, you'll be as much a trouble as Jesus was when he physically was this world. So what the devil did was that he gave Jesus the opportunity to multiply himself. If he had known the secret, he would have allowed Jesus to be alive till today. Working. Because it was the word that was made flesh. Jesus wouldn't have died. Maybe he would be in your village preaching. If Satan had known. So there are many things that the princes of this world do not know, for which the Bible is full of the miscalculations of the enemy. If only you walk in the economy of sealed things, the things that God kept secret, which scripture says, those secret things, it is given unto us to know. For the Bible says, unto you, unto me, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. When you see a man walking in righteousness, a man not manipulating anything, and things are working for the man, he has access to secrets. Because in the natural, it looks like the guy that is cutting corners runs faster than the righteous man. Oh, you're not with me. I came to tell you that you can win by righteousness. But you need to understand the layer, how to interface with this divine layer. the support system that God has made available to ensure that your life does not waste. Satan is not that strong. He's only strong around carnal men. Men that will fail to keep their watches. Men that will fail to press into the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You will always be short of what is needed as a carnal man to access the things that make for your salvation in the kingdom of God. So I threw the towel. I said, I'm going to journey with God. Until I find him, I will be searching. And thank God those days we had no GSM phones, nobody to call you. So life was straightforward, no distraction. Do you know how many calls entered my phone? If I had picked all of them, I'll be an unbeliever by now. Sometimes you need to throw that phone away. Can you afford it? I know most of you can't. Another God is in your anizemo, and a shrine is on your hands. Be bold, be strong one day. Off it, throw it away. Look for it after 4 days. May Lord help us. In Jesus' name. So, are you there? But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Stay with me. What's the name given to something that eyes have not seen? Ears have not heard. Something that has never entered into the heart of man. Not by learning, not by imagination. It's just beyond your scope. It cannot be the product of your creative thinking. There are such things. And those are mysteries. They exist, but eyes have not seen it. But ears have not heard it. It has not by any means occurred to the heart of mortal man. Our God has prepared such things for them that love him. Next verse. But God has revealed such things that eyes have not seen, that ears have not heard, that have not occurred into the heart of man. He has revealed such things unto us, our entry point into the economy of mysteries, of sealed things, is the Spirit of God. So the question is, how much do you know the Holy Ghost enough for him to reveal something to you? What is the experience of a revelation like? The meaning of your life will come out of a disclosure that the Holy Spirit happens to be the only chartered personality that can unveil. Your life itself is sealed. Your essence is sealed. Only the Holy Ghost can give you access into sealed things. Thank God for my pastor. He was the one that exposed me to the Word of God. He was the teacher that I met, and he exposed me to prayer. Thank God for him. I mean, my pastor in the village. He's in Zambia now. But he opened our eyes to the scriptures. And I was so hungry as a tank. Because of the hunger, God had to take some of the teaching grace that was upon that man to and bestowed upon him. So that when I study the scriptures, I'll be able to see the counsel of God. Hallelujah. In fasting, in prayers. Those were the days when I sit on the scripture by 10 p.m. in the night. I stand up 5 a.m. in the morning. Not 1 day, not 2 days, not 3 days, not 4 days, not 5 days, not 6 days, not 7 days. So when I now started seeing that the average believer doesn't study his Bible. Because my pastor in the village was good with scriptures. Finishes his scripture, his Bible, twice every year. A man of the book. And we began to learn the ways of the Bible. A time came when I could only think in scripture. You don't need to say me this thing is a sin. Once you are saying it, my wiring, because it had entered. That was a blessing. But there was a greater blessing. I now met the author of the Bible called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, I will tell you about him maybe in July. The Holy Spirit, which is the custodian of all the mysteries in the kingdom of God. The Bible says unto us that the Spirit searcheth all things. And he now say, yea, that means even the deep things of God. Meaning that the highest, most impossible thing to search into is God. But the Spirit searches all things. And just in case you are confused, he can also search into the depths of God. The Holy Ghost is a better search machine than Google, than Yahoo search. Which other one do you know? That one that you mentioned. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. Oh my God. Oh my God. How could a stammerer that was so plagued with the yoke of stammering ever know that he was called to preach the gospel? My limitation was already suggestive of the fact that I could not stand before a crowd to make meaning. But the Holy Ghost, in the place of prayer, I was lying on the altar in the village. And he said, as for thee, I never knew it was in the Bible. The Holy Ghost was speaking to me. This is the covenant that I have with you. I have put my words in your mouth. Oh my God. The kind of peace I felt after that word. So I said, I'm a preacher. Me? I laughed. Do you know that was the beginning of my healing from stammering? If someone that knows me from birth, like my mom, sits here now, she will marvel. Because she knows that the son she gave birth to cannot speak. Sealed things don't look real. Oh. When God says you are going to be the governor of Benue State, in fact, if someone should tell you, you will laugh. Because the person is speaking from the realm of mystery. It doesn't make sense to your mortal mind. It has not occurred in your heart, in your mind. And the Bible says that God made it so that he can put you on the advantage, because he knows that there's a bad devil out there. But if you are walking in the wisdom of sealed things, you will walk as if Satan is not existing. Can we go to the book of Revelation now? You understand this one to this level? I see, if you don't understand, I still have a few things to convince you that this kingdom of God works with secrets. It works with classified things. Hallelujah. Oh, you want to walk in the anointing? There are different types of anointings. And when God wants to bequeath to you an anointing, he will begin to teach you secret things about the workings of that anointing. The Lord told me, I am going to make you such a teacher that will teach the world. But the teaching anointing and pride, they don't work together. So pride must die. Pride, we cannot be patient with pride. Do you know how many years I prayed for dealings on the issue of pride? I haven't understood the workings of the anointing God was willing to give me. Do you understand that? Oh. Most of you are not praying out of the revelation of sealed things. Your prayer is still flat. Some people are praying into they want to maximize the economy of that thing that was revealed. So their prayer is based on revelation. I began to took myself to the intensive care unit of the grace of God and asked for a surgery. I went there. You see, the intensive care unit of the grace of God is only available for sincere people. So when nobody gives you a prescription, it's you that diagnoses yourself and you know you have an infirmity. And you move there, you admit yourself, sign, and put drip on your hand. So I was trapped to a bed waiting for Dr. Jesus to bring the intervention. Wave after wave of mercy, I saw myself breaking free from pride. The job is not 100% done yet, but a great deal of progress has taken place. The reason why I've stayed on that prayer is because I understand the secret of the anointing that God said he wanted to give me. Do you understand that? As long as I walk in this anointing, I can't be wrong. If I try to behave like you, I'll be wrong. But this one was given to me, custom made from heaven. If I stand under it, I know it. It's a long sword. I have seen his similitude in the spirit. There are prayer points you will pray just because you understand that this sealed thing, these are the principles that makes it work. And then you begin to operate on a plane. You see, Satan is not there. That place you are walking, there's nothing can influence there. There's nothing of him that is there. Oh, the prince of this world will come. He won't find any tool. There was nothing you borrowed from his kingdom to add to. Oh my God. He will be helpless in your case again and again and again. I hope you know when you make progress, people don't like it. But you see, if you are walking in the principles of the grace he makes available, it's their business. Their secret intentions for you will only remain intentions. And just when they are getting used to a certain level of your operation, God will, he will boost you up again. And it will generate new envy, new backbiting, new warfare. Demons will say, what's that? But you see, and that's why every sealed thing has principles that accompany it to establish it in your life. That's where we must operate this year. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, I'll give you a scripture. Since I think you understand now. So I will avoid Colossians chapter 1. Then I will jump to Daniel chapter 2. Avoid Colossians 1 so that we can save time. I'll take you to Daniel chapter 2. Can you do Daniel chapter 2? Okay, let me open my Bible. Daniel chapter 2. All right, let's do from verse 12. But when you get back home, I advise that you take some time to read the whole of Daniel chapter 2. The sealed things of the kingdom. I need to show you what you need to do to break a seal. A new strand of civilization will never come from heaven until a seal breaks. When a seal breaks, a new thing begins to come into the earth. A new wisdom begins to come into your spirit. New insights, new revelations. You can actually tell a teacher that has stopped receiving new visitations. He'll begin to recycle old message. Meanwhile, the God you are preaching for is a God that cannot be exhausted. Are you with me? It's a God that cannot be what? So when you find a teacher not growing, it plateaus on a separate point. It means he no longer has access to what it takes to break the other seal. I watched the life of Reinhard Bonnke from start to finish. He was growing in grace. That's how I want to be. Not to come to a point and then say, okay, those days in 1986, that's history. Our God is not in the past. Hallelujah. All right, so Daniel chapter 12, chapter 2, verse 12. And for this cause, the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. What was the problem? The king dreamt, forgot his dream, asked his wise men to come and reveal the dream that he has forgotten and then give the interpretation. And the wise men said, no king in no nation has ever made such a request. You know what God wanted to do here? He wanted to separate between... Meanwhile, in the kingdom of Babylon, if they come to invade your territory and they find out that you are the Ezemu of the land, you have access to the spirit realm, you are under, they'll give you an employment straight. So in the kingdom of Babylon, let me give you a list of the kind of priesthood that was there. Because Nebuchadnezzar the king conquered nations through the intelligence that came from the priesthood that was established in his kingdom. He had a ministry of wisdom. In his ministry of wisdom, if you go to the book of Daniel chapter 2 verse 2, you will see the catalog of the different kinds of demonic priesthood that had employment in the ministry of wisdom. Then the king commanded all the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans. So those were the people that were in that ministry of wisdom. And when they went to invade Israel, they found people like Daniel. They knew they had special abilities. And they brought them into the employment in the ministry of wisdom. And a day came when God wanted to separate the priesthood, the accurate priesthood of God, from the priesthood of darkness. He gave the king a dream. He retrieved it. The man knew he touched something, but the texture of what he touched was lost. So he called the wise men and said, "Is this not your work? What do I pay you for? To do strength, to keep guard of the strange realm. So your assignment now is retrieve the dream from anywhere it went. Give me the interpretation, or else I will kill all of you. Make your houses a dunghill, so that when people pass by, they'll say, someone was supposed to be here." That was the situation, okay? So, and the decree went forth and that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain, because Daniel was in the department of wisdom, the ministry of wisdom. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone for to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this, what? Secret. Now, we are going to use this formula. That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Please, I would like us to see the procedure. The procedure was that he consulted with his friends. Are you with me? That they will seek the mercies of the God of heaven. You see? How? Because God is not under obligation to reveal anything to anybody. But if he decides to show mercy, just like when you are praying to understand the reason why people have been dying in the month of August in your family. There was a certain office where I worked. Anytime somebody wants to die, and indeed, the people die every month. They died every month for 4 years, and I'm telling you, I know you don't believe that. And I don't want to call the name of the office. And they all died on Thursday. It's an event that is reoccurring. It's tied to a mystery. And just in case you want to change the trend, follow Daniel's example. You need to seek the mercies of the God of heaven. So he contacted his friends because all of them were going to manufacture the answer. You know, when we say, okay, there's a prayer point here, we want to pray for this, all of us are manufacturing the answer because we are seeking the mercies of the God of heaven. Are you there? But not all of us will receive the response from heaven. Oh, you're not with me. Let me try again. All of Daniel's friends were involved in the manufacture of the response. But the response came to Daniel, only Daniel. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the ninth vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Don't exalt Daniel beyond the others. They were all involved in the manufacture, but Daniel received the answer. We can all be in a prayer meeting and the answer can come to Abike. We all demanded from heaven, and in response to heaven's demands, he decides to isolate Abike as the receptor. Do you understand that? So that's what happened. So one of the things that you can unavoidably see in the proceedings of that scripture is that one item needed to penetrate, to break a seal that is sealed by the glory of God is prayer. So if you are consistent in the place of prayer, you should enter into the prophetic. You should begin to see things that are sealed. Because one of such requirements is what? Prayer. In this particular case that we are reading about, there was a specific secret that they were seeking for. When you start seeking out a specific secret, what God will do is that he will reveal other secrets to you first. If you are someone that is not determined, you will stop your search because you will feel that you had a revelation. Meanwhile, the subject of the secret that you went for has been left unattended. Oh my. It will take great determination for you to actually receive a response in the area of the secret that you seek God to speak about. I was in the city of Kano and I was participating in my youth service, and I wanted to know what life was all about, what was God's will for me after youth service and all of that. So when I came for youth service, I was batch A. We were the ones that went in January. I started my prayer in February because January we're in camp. We're in camp for 21 days. Was it 21? Or 30 days. For 30 days. After camp, we now went to the places of our deployment. Then I started my fast in February. What was the prayer point? Lord, show me. Give me direction about after NYS. When I started the prayer, God began to show me that there were curses in my family. Was that what I... You are not with me. Was that the emphasis? So when you begin to see other revelation, thank God for it. I took some time to attack the curses. Attack it. Until God now said, okay. It's in this season I will attend to those curses. You have prosecuted it. But the manifestation will come in this is, I continued with my fourth month of fasting. And on Saturdays, I pray from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's how many hours? Yeah. What? 8 hours. Okay. So I pray for 8 hours on Saturday. The other days, I go to work. So when I come back from work, I come sometimes like 4. I pray from 4 to 9. Then on Saturday, I start from 8 o'clock. So it means I was really spiritually fit. But it took me one calendar year to receive the answer to the original question that I was asking. See, God was showing me many things, but that was not what I was asking. So if you lose the ability to be determined, you will think it's a waste of time. You will waste 20 years and you still come back. 20 years in the forest. Nothing significant has happened. You have not struck a chord with heaven. Please help me tell your neighbor, it's time to waste time with God. Everybody that was in a hurry, that ran away from God's presence, regretted in old age that they wasted life. You want life to count? Go and seek wisdom. Let him open a seal. I finished my youth service in December, we were discharged. The answer did not come. Meanwhile, in September, God came and said, raise for me a crusade platform in Kano, and I will begin to deliver this view. Was that what I was asking? He said, raise for me. All of these things and the attendant obediences will qualify you for your answer. It was my last allowance in youth service that was the seed money that was used to fund that crusade. That was the crusade we did that witches wrote us and said they were coming to attend. That we are just causing problem, commotion. So let's meet on the field. Have witches wrote you before? When you begin to grow in God, you find out that those threats mean nothing. I know the one that gives life. Even Satan himself, he survives by the breath of God. Snuffing Satan out of the equation is not by any means any challenge with God. But God knows why he does what he does. I think Satan is useful. I think so. Because if he didn't attack you, you won't run to, you won't be this strong. So he's having some purpose. He's doing some positive things there. Helping people to find themselves in God. Satan is not that strong. I finished the crusade God said we should do. We did it. Came back home. And I went back again to God on the 13th of January. You have not yet answered me. Prayed in the morning till the evening. Went to church. We're doing fasting and prayer in church. Prayed for 2 hours in church. I still felt there was... No, I had not filled the tank. I told my friend we needed to push prayer. We started again 2 hours. Then NEPA took light. As he walked into the garage to change the face, because there was light on another face and he saw it, he wanted to change the face. I was alone in the sitting room. An angel walked through the wall. That was my first angelic encounter. And he read from a scroll. And I say I saw an angel with this eye, not spiritually. Because I know you see angels. You must have seen the way I minister. If we start now, you will not go home. So no, don't worry. Let's leave that one. When we talk about watchmen and angels, then I will need to do demonstration for you. Came through the wall with a letter, a scroll, and he began to read. Go back to Kano. I said, I finished your service. He didn't answer me. You see, and then I discovered the difference between angels and God. Because if I speak to Jesus and I asked him a question, he will laugh. He will answer. But the angels, they are just messengers. I didn't know that. They don't know more than they were sent to deliver. He said, go back. It was reading it, the words of God. And you shall return to Kano. For my assignment has not yet been accomplished. You finished youth service, but not my assignment. That was when I now discovered there was a difference between youth service and assignment. Your youth service expired, but my assignment did not expire. You go back to the people that you were discipling and continue your work of discipleship and teach them prayer. And when you have done this, I will return to you. And I will give you a job. And you will invest in many destinies. And a great network will be formed. That's why we don't do church on Sunday. He called it a network. But it will be a platform, an open forum, where believers from all denominations will come and be educated, trained, and redeployed. We need every believer to reach all the world. The days of a big man of God, those days are past. Those are the days of Saul. But in the days of David, even the Hittites had a place in the army. Where tribes and nations were trained and forged, and their uniqueness were found. The Benjamites were left-handed people. If they threw a sling, it doesn't mean he is target. David had nursed all the potentials in all the tribes and even among all nations. that came to stand with him in battle. It's the day of the saints, where a little one must become a thousand. A small one must become a strong nation. The days where one mighty man rose and he did exploits, those days are past. Now is the body must awake in glory as a new man to contend with darkness. And in those days, principalities and powers will have to learn from the church. The technology of grace that is on display. I am not seeking to be the greatest preacher. There's no allotment for any such thing like that in our time. God is looking for men that can stir the body of Christ from slumber, from sleep, and equip them so that each one in his own space can be God's answer to his enclave. I don't seek to be a head above you. Hallelujah. I seek to be the messenger that will be used to stir up your powers into activity. And when you find God, you will find out that it's better to stay with Jesus than to stay with the preacher. The days of men are over. In this current time, what we do is that we serve the will of God. That was how I told my mom that became a widow, that Jehovah wants me to go to Kano. Those were the days of religious riots where men killed in the name of God. And in sorrow, my mom said, "You will never." I didn't argue because I knew the encounter I had. And the same angel appeared to my mom and said, "Ah, woman." My mom woke up one day and said, "Oh yeah, come and go, come on." No argument. Because what Mani taught me, he said, you don't need to disobey constituted authority to obey God. No. He taught me. Jesus was a Jew, and Jews were exempted from temple tax. And once upon a time, they requested that Jesus would come and pay temple tax. He would have claimed his rights. He didn't do that. He told Peter, I said, "Peter, I remember you were a man of the waters those days. Take a hook. Go back to the seaside. You will draw up a fish. You'll find a good coin in his mouth. Use the coin to pay for yourself and to pay for me." Jesus never fought for his right, because the kingdom he represented was not of this world. In this world, we can accept people to cheat us, because the cheating that they cheat us, it strikes no chord where we come from. We are not so desperate to hold on to anything of this world. I went to Lagos. Two weeks after I got to Lagos, I had a dream that my car was stolen. And I saw Adeboye in the dream. He told me, "Don't look for the car." I woke up, I told my wife, "I had a strange dream." 3 days later, they stole our car. I think the instruction about the car was clear. Yeah, are you with me? My great father-in-law, the professor of geophysics, he called me and said, "Son, go and report to the police. You know, that's the right thing to do." But I heard from God. What did he say? "Don't look for it." And I obeyed God, even though I didn't tell my father-in-law that I didn't go. And he's watching me now. He will call me and say, "Son, so you..." I didn't go. 14 days later, I was taking my bath and he came into the bathroom and said, "Because your heart did not lust for what is physical, I will give to you the true riches beyond that which your eyes can see. There is a realm stronger, more real than this realm in which you dwell." Oh my, oh my. You have been singing the chants of Satan all these years because you don't know the immortal who is invincible, who is shrouded. He dwells in light that no man can approach unto. The Bible says, and the secret was revealed in a night vision. The seal broke. and Daniel received a very well articulated dream, and he also received the interpretation. Things that are hidden are not hidden from you. They are hidden what? For you. And it is by them that you pass into the realm of glory that God has ordained for your life. Oh, you might ask, why is it that nobody has been able to live up to 70 years in your family? It is a secret. There is a spirit watching over it to perform it. Life after life. Until a priest rises and travels, mounts up with wings into the heavens. And with prayer, I will show you the other tool that you need to unveil a seal. And it is unveiled. And this is what happened. Your great-grandfather sacrificed a woman alive. A judgment came from the spirit realm against all the women that are from his genealogy. And that is why this judgment has passed. It was on this person. It was on your mother. And now you are beginning to see the symptoms. Then wisdom will speak to you. But if you want to change it, this is what you will do. You cannot get this wisdom I speak about in Benue State University. You can't get it because you sit before a professor. Because you visited the library. There are sealed things. And they are existing for your advantage. If God has designed a method that is ordained to fast track my advantage, I will be foolish not to seek it out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, the Bible says, and the honor of kings to search it out. Honor kings. There was a day we prayed. How many of you know our former place? We prayed there. And I told God, I said, God, I'm seeing the anointing you have placed upon Nigerians. I began to mention names like Bensini Dahosa. Began to mention great men that have risen. It's obvious you have a heart for Nigeria. Don't anoint me like them. Give me half. That's what I asked. Give me half. The anointing you place on Idahosa is too much. It's too big. Can you give me half? Is there an allocation of half left? Give me half. And you will rejoice that you anointed me. Because the profit you seek, the return on your investment that you seek, you will get more than it. Just give me half and try me. I didn't know God heard that. Oh, I didn't know he heard it. Then he decided to unveil a seal. He broke a seal. That prayer shook heaven. And when the seal broke, that was when our spirit saw this place. As at the time we saw this place, it was sacrilege, unthinkable for you to believe that it was possible, given the circumstances. But a seal had broken. A wisdom was already in the earth. A wisdom was available among the sons of men. Something beyond intelligence. And it was furnished with so much conviction that even if you are Thomas, you will be incapable of doubting. We are going to journey to where it all began. To the library of secrets, the place where your name was written on a white stone. We need to retrieve it so that you understand that God did not make an accident allowing you to come into this civilization as a Nigerian. Before I take us, I need to show us something quick. Revelation. Are you there? Revelation 5. Spend my life, Lord. I'll take Africa for you. Sow my life, Lord.
I'll take Kenya for you. Take my life. Take my life, Lord. I'll take South Africa for you. So my life. God will hear your voice tonight. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open the book and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Jump to verse 8. And when he had taken the book and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. They had harps and they had made obeisance to the king. It's the atmosphere of worship and the atmosphere of prayer that sees seals hidden for years broken. When it breaks, as you will see subsequently, the book of Revelation chapter 6, they will call John, come and see. Then they break one seal. Bwah! Then a vision comes. The things that were hidden behind the seal begins to show. That's when it becomes possible for you to see it in the spirit. That was how we saw this building. Prayed and fasted for a long time. One time I came to the fellowship. How many were we? We were like 30 people. And I said, I've just seen that we will network the world. I know the people that were following them thought their pastor had a mental need to see a psychiatrist. A seal broke. And I could see my feet in nations. For we have received a spirit which is not of this world, but a spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. With things we speak, not with words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with words which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Today, this is the night of the seal. Something must open today. You see, when your heart sees it, when it sees it, it is yours. And they may take away your coat of many colors, but that which has been registered on the canvas of your heart, nothing can ever take away. I saw it in my prayers after the 6 days of encounter. Woo! That the Lord, it had pleased the Lord to send me to the United Kingdom, to send me to Ghana, to send me to South Africa. I didn't know anybody there, but the seal had broken. I was waiting for the manifestation, preparing myself, praying for these nations. The first invitation I had to London was the invitation that opened the whole of Europe to me. I'll take Kenya for you. Spend my life, oh Lord. I'll take Nigeria for you. So my life, so my life, oh God, I take Africa for you.
That's where I live from. I live from the realm of seals. I live to as an administrative setup to fulfill wisdoms sealed up since the foundation of the world, that it has pleased God in this time to reveal. Oh, there was no man like Pa Elton. No man like him. He knew the destiny of nations. It was through his vocal cord we realized the purpose of Nigeria. And that's why there's more contention on Nigeria than any other country in Africa. The apostolic face of Africa. The place where missionaries, kingdom missionaries will be dispatched from. A nursery where God will test and experiment his products before he sends them to the nations of the world. And our generation will fulfill that utterance. I know it as I know my name. You will not know why Satan fights. But today, the things that are hid, he will bring them forth to light in the name of Jesus. As we pray together,